morning, councillors. I'd like to thank you all for attending, and I'd like to start the meeting as soon as possible so we can get underway and get going. It's a nice crisp morning here in Yarralla, and I think you're all, I'm very happy to see a couple of councillors from Yarralla Shire Council made it as well. I was hoping to see the mayor and the deputy mayor here, but they must be busy elsewhere or something else taking their place. So thank you for your attendance today. We have one apology from Councillor Murat. Can I have someone to move it, please? Councillor O'Connor, seconded. Councillor Gillatley. All those in favour signify in the usual manner. All against? No. Clear that carried. Do we have any declarations of interest? Oh, by the way, this meeting of the Wheeze County Council is being recorded to be podcast later on this afternoon or later on tonight. So we'll usually maintain the high standards we always persist with. So any declarations of interest, Mr. Manager? Received. Now, up to the next stage is confirmation of the minutes of the ordinary meeting held on the 21st of April 2021. Councillor O'Connor and Councillor Sparks, is everyone in favour of those minutes? Signify in the usual manner. Clear that carried. Any business arising from the minutes of the ordinary meeting? No business arising. I'll proceed next to the chairman's report. Control around there somewhere on the wall. Hang on the wall. If you'd like to change it, roll it. Just bear with me a few more seconds. My technology is still trying to catch up with it. It's been cool this morning. Has everybody got their phones turned off all the way?
No. I think. Your Alan might have different heaters than that. I know Mark has.
Yes.
Stronger heaters.
Just about there, Mr. General Manager. Right. I would like to welcome our newer councillors, the Yarralla Shire Council, and also welcome the Yarralla Shire councillors that are attending, and members of the public. We don't have any members of the public. Over the past 2 months, the Wheeze Authority has been making rapid changes to its organisational direction, and this is included in the General Manager's and staff implementing improvements to its work, health and safety documentation. To make temporary appointments to the senior staff positions internally, to review its salary and training progression structure and to work together as a team to improve its inspection treatment and reporting requirements. A few major actions have been undertaken over the last 2 months that we need to record. Firstly, Muir has submitted its development application to Armidale Regional Council for its new depot and office area at the Armidale Regional Airport subdivision. We believe this is the first DA submitted, and we are confident that Armidale Regional Council will quickly progress approval so that we can move into the next phase and finalise the purchase of the land and the construction of the buildings. The second major item, and included in today's business papers, is the advertising and appointment of a new general manager. This position is a requirement under the Local Government Act, but it is also a critical position that as councillors we must get right. A great deal of change has recently been undertaken to bring Muir up to a higher standard, and we need this to continue to progress into the future. The position is required to work from our office and to be there to support the staff and the public. To ensure we have the right person, we have issued with the position description the first year's key performance indicators to ensure that the applicants understand that we need to move forward and to have our staff and councillors and contractors working positively for the future. Third, and a very positive achievement, that is, Inverell Shire Council has agreed to a memorandum of understanding to work with Muir for the next financial year in the inspection and control of weeds across their shire. This expansion of the service by Muir indicates that we are achieving our objectives and that the work of our staff and those of Inverell Shire can deliver a true regional outcome. The Acting General Manager advises that this is a very large area to undertake our inspections and educational role, but it will be managed and the funding provided by Inverell Shire will offset the costs to be incurred. I would like to thank Inverell Council for their vision and allowing the Weeds Authority to develop into a true regional organisation. Finally, I would advise councillors that this is probably our last ordinary meeting of the new Inverell Weeds Authority, although we will come together very soon to interview and appoint a new general manager. As this is the last meeting, I wish to thank all councillors for their support of the newer and the chair. And for those councillors that may not be standing again, I wish you all the best as to your future retirement from the local government. And for the councillors that are standing at the September local elections, I wish you all the best, and I hope that you will continue to support the development of the New England Weeds Authority into the future. I would also like to thank our former General Manager, Mr. John Duggan, and our Acting General Manager, Mr. Glenn Wilcox, for the work they have undertaken to develop and support Muir. I would like to thank the staff over the last 5 years for the work they have undertaken and the support that they offer to the region's property owners and councillors. Thank you, councillors. That is my report. I'd like to table that if you will. The mover and seconder that will be tabled, Councillor Blatley, Councillor Connor, all those in favour signify in the usual manner. Clear that carry. Now, 7.1, organisational matters, 7.11, General Manager's report, operations of the 2021 operational plan, and estimates submissions. Recommendation that Council adopt the 2021 operational plan and estimates. Can I have a mover? Mr. General Manager, would you like to discuss this first? Can we have a mover and a second first? The recommend, Councillor Sparks, Councillor O'Connor, moved and seconded. Mr. General Manager, would you like to speak on the recommendation?
Mr. Chair, we never received any public submissions, which is pretty normal for all councils. They don't take an interest until such time as we issue the rates or we issue notices or some cost comes to them. That's when they take an interest generally. And admittedly, I don't do much for the councils I pay rates in either. I can whinge about them once I've received them. So I'm no different to anyone else. The operational plan has had some adjustments after our last meeting, which we discussed after the meeting in little bits and pieces. But again, the estimates that have been put forward are still positive. There will be some changes, of course, in the first review, which will occur in September. You'll see an October council meeting, which will technically be the first one after the election, because of Inverell coming on. So our estimates never included Inverell at that stage because we hadn't had a signed agreement and hadn't confirmed how much that would make. So that has to come into the budget. There's some other costs that we know will come in, and the end of the year for this year, which has been around cost for work, health and safety, some upgrades that we've done there. So you'll see, and we've provided some preliminary information as to what our general purpose statements will look like. And there is a deficit that will come in because of, investigations and things in work health and safety and training. So we're looking at a small deficit, and that deficit will carry through and be picked up in the September review. So apart from that, it's pretty much on track, and we think the fees that have been put in there will start to recover some of the costs that the organisation needs to work towards, and also to be compliant where we've been where we've been using our advantage as a weeds organisation to undertake private and grant works without full cost recovery, which in the review we've done, we've had to increase our charges for private and grant work to come back to full cost recovery so that we're competitive. And that's pretty much the same as every council operates. So the changes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. General Manager. Councillor Spice, would you like to have a move, or would you like to speak on some kind of recommendation? Councillor O'Connor, would you like to speak on the recommendation?
No, not directly.
Would anybody like to speak against or any questions?
I did know there's a typo on the other.
Any forward?
There's an extra O on page 1230 on the digital version. This one there. It just sort of stands out if you're a person.
I didn't pick it up, so that's good.
Sorry, mate. If you want me to just have a bit of a chat, just say the couple here. Can I just trade 26 worth in?
Yes.
But pretty well, this is the way that I read it. Please pull me up if it's wrong. But seeing we're bringing these outsides, we've got Inverell, Glen Innes, and Wildcat, which have always been in it. But as far as contractors for a lot of the work go, it's probably, and please pull me up if I'm wrong, it looks like they'll be coming into a fair bit more, seeing we're working a lot further away, and obviously it'll be a lot more cost efficient if contractors are doing a bit more, which is basically putting it down into the common terms. Is that how we, yeah.
Chair, if I could comment. Because the remoteness of especially Inverell and Glenelg, we will be using more contractors there, but within our own staff resources, we don't have the time to do the required number of inspections as well as do what we were doing, which is go out and spray at the same time. So probably the beginning of July, we will be putting out for contractors right across the whole newer region, so that includes Inverell, so that we have a list of contractors. So a contractor at Walker only wants to work in Walker, might not want to work in Inverell, so we'll have people right across. If they wish to work right across the whole area, that's great, but we're trying to pick up those people and get a higher level service where we need it. Obviously, we're going to run our own staff, which is on the critical stuff that we have agreements with council, such as Walker, where we do the roadside spraying. That will continue with our own staff, so we can guarantee that product. But if we go into grants and private works, we will tend to use more contractors than what we had in the past. And again, that increase in pricing helps offset those costs and our cost recovery overall. So we're being competitive, but we also need to get the industry involved with us and make them work and, you know, help educate as well, you know, as we go right across this region that's just doubled overnight.
Yeah. So,
Councillor Spice.
Chair, just a question on contractors and the future. Model and had any investigations into. I know that Inverell Shire uses steam as part of some of the lead eradication. I'm just wondering, have you looked
at it? Mr.
Chair, no, not at this stage, but the model is about getting better control over what we do, so we improve newer services overall. I have had lengthy discussions with the staff about, you know, how we need to improve overall, and that the staff also need to go to field days and look at different alternatives to what we've been looking at, whether it's equipment or process or chemicals. You know, they need to have a greater education in that area, which, to be honest, they haven't had the opportunities to do up till this point. So I think attending field days, you know, whether it's a big cotton field day at Moree or the field day at Gunnedah or, you know, even Civinex down in Sydney to see what the right equipment is that does the job for this area we've got. We have a look at that and also look at, you know, where it's changing. You know, there's different systems out there that are being used for weed control and identification, so it's just a blanket chemical use. You know, they need to look at some of those as well. But again, we're only starting that now because the opportunities haven't been there.
Councillor Sparks, what? Councillor Cullen.
I was just looking at 7.1.2, where it looks like we may, or the council, may well be workshopping the procurement policy. Presumably that may have some impact on the draft operational plan in relation to how those local contractors are hired and that sort of thing. I mean, there may be some change of weight. I don't know, would the general manager comment on that?
Mr. Chair, what happens with the new... With the new procurement policy, we are moving towards more open government. And what that means is, for contractors, we will advertise for contractors for the 12 months. So instead of me knowing someone down the street and employing them, it's open. We actually open it up further, the same as councils do for gravel trucks and hire of major plan items, we will be doing the same, so that we have a list of people and we can choose off that list people to do the job right across the region. As I said before, a contractor at Walt may not wish to spray it in for real, so you can then go down the list and find the contractor. Or we might be doing, say, roadside spraying in RL, who have as much road network as all the other councils combined. You know, the contractor we might be looking for might have 10,000 litres of chemical on the back of a truck rather than have 400 litres of chemical. So we have the opportunity through this process to look for the right person or the right company to do the right job at the right price, where we haven't had that transparency up until now. And the procurement policy, it was all about making things more transparent, whether it's, you know, going down the street here and buying something from the local shop. That's more transparent through that policy than what we've had in the past.
But presumably there'll be opportunity in the near future to look at how we weight local as against where the weighting is for creating local employment.
Generally, Mr. Chair, if you're calling for contractors, the contractor will give you a set rate, whether it's hourly, daily, you know, cost per plan, you know, dry hire, wet hire, so on. They will give you those rates, and it's then from that list we can then pick who we would use based on the information they provide us. And also, we know they're fully insured and everything else before they get on the list. The weighting system is really about looking at larger purchases. So, such as, you know, tenders, where we get a tender for our new office building, that will have a local component that you would set up in the tender process up front, so that instead of someone from Sydney coming in, you know, they've got proof that they've got 80% local component or whatever we set. If we're buying plant, you would do the same thing. You would put a local component in there. So in the procurement policy, there is a 5% local component. So if you're trying to compete, you know, we're buying new units, the local person could technically have a 5%. Sorry, that's probably a bad example because I wrote that out. Both vehicles are actually under government contract, and it's the same price whether you buy them in Sydney or you buy them in Morrell. So if we're buying chemical, for instance, that's a better one, even though it's on government procurement, we have 5% local components, so that the person, let's say, sitting in Tamworth, they might be able to give us a better price, but with the local percentage, we might be able to buy it at Glenn's because it's competitive, except for the fact they've got a little bit more transport or whatever. So it's all about buying as much within our newer region as we can. You know, and that 5%'s there. If you go much over 5%, then people start to use that to their advantage. We've still got to run a business, we are a business, so we've still got to stay within reasonable parameters.
Can I just have another little
yes.
Thank you. And just to explain a little bit, also, this is the way I read again, is that this policy is a lot more flexible than the one's been in the past. And then at the same time, when you get contractors, if you've got to get in contractors that say they want to go from Wagga to Inverell, they still it's their cost going over there to do it. It's not their travel cost. But if they're staying there, they're still going to be putting money in the economy. They're going to be staying at motels or pubs or whatever. They're still going to be eating over there. But I think it's just a plus plus. No matter what we're doing, there is going to be money spent in the area. So as far as and procurement, like Councillor Sparks said, with your steam, which is a few are using. If we've got contractors that are very familiar with it,
yeah.
and we as the Weeds Authority aren't,
yeah.
we're all the better off. And not all of these contractors will be going to all their field days themselves because that's their business. And they can, and I just think it's relating to all the people that are experienced and doing it all, they're the ones to talk to because they're the ones that,
Council spoke, did you like to finish the
it, it just shows that, you know, the GM, the council has been listening because I know that one of the criticisms that some of our councillors had was that, you know, the local contractors would not be used if we joined the Women's Authority. So now that just answers the question, doesn't it, then that will make them feel more positive.
And we've got, and we've got, so, and obviously we'll have someone from Inverell on the board, and that's, we can be batting for our own community to a certain degree, you know.
Sure.
Mr. Chair, can I just correct some? Mm-hmm. Inverell Council, under their MOU, does not have a seat on the board.
That's what I was
and
saying.
They do not have a representative come to council.
Oh.
That was their determination.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know.
I just thought it was their part is an operational matter. And therefore, at this stage, they do not want to see them.
Yeah, so it's only memory.
Thank you.
Close the vote now. I now put the recommendation that the council adopt the 2021-22 operational plan and estimates. All those in favour, signify in the usual manner. Any against? I'll declare that carried. Councillor Kovacs, you didn't signify, so I'll declare that you're voting against.
No, I did.
Sorry. I apologise.
I would have liked a chance to speak on that, just to make a comment.
The recommendation was approved, by the way. It was only an adopted recommendation, but I value your comment. Would you like to speak now, please?
I would, and I don't think that wouldn't change the result. It wasn't seeking to, but my comment was that with the change in focus from the operation plan to simplify, in less words, and less is always better than more, to my mind, that the focus here is to get the inspectors inspecting and the sprayers spraying.
Yeah, good word.
And very rarely should they meet. In my opinion, and that should have been going on for a long time. So I do, in that regard, you know, that is, I commend the operation plan for at last trying to refocus and aim at that.
General
Ledger,
would you like to comment?
Mr. Chair, I'm actually glad the councillor has brought that up because that has been a key focus since I've been here, that we need to change the culture and we need more people on the ground doing inspections and education and meeting our legal commitments than to have all our inspectors out there spraying, and we needed to convert the money for spraying back into the community. And, you know, with our own casuals, of course, but get it back out there so that it's more productive and we're getting better value from our inspectors overall. Now, you know, the staff have struggled with changes in concept, and I say it quite openly and publicly because of this big change. They are accepting it, and I'm sure that things will change very dramatically in the future. So thank you, Councillor, for raising that.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, the next recommendation, the council display all draft policies to the public and subject to no substantial matters being raised about one or any policy by the public, that the council adopt the policies. Do I have a move and a second for that? Councillor O'Connor?
Oh,
exactly. Councillor Gladley? Councillor O'Connor, would you like to speak on it?
No, I just think it's a necessary procedure. There's nothing controversial about it. It does emphasise the fact that the Weeds Council, as much as any council, is dependent on and required to consult with the public, and that's a good thing.
So,
Councillor Gladley, first.
I'm happy.
Right.
We are workshopping the procurement policy.
Yep.
Correct. So what is then the process for adopting that?
Mr. Chair, I thought we would discuss the procurement policy because it's the only one raised with me now, rather than break to a workshop to come back and ask the questions off the floor. We'll answer that, you know, as part of this meeting.
Right. Any other councillors wish to make a comment? While you reply, Councillor O'Connor?
No. Well, in relation to Cameron, I mean, I think my concern would be on the waiting for local and general manager's already talked about that.
I've just had a discussion with the general manager. We might suspend this decision and the recommendation at the moment, and so we can discuss the procurement policy in depth further. Can I have a move and a second that we do that?
Yeah.
Councillor Sparks, Councillor Platt. We're now in committee, so we can now discuss this.
Can I ask, do we have a copy of the procurement policy? Just if you're looking for it online, while I couldn't find it. It's just handy to have something to work on. Unless it is online, on the website.
It should be.
It should
be.
Have one.
Policy, by the way, has been revised in the last 6 months, hasn't it? Thereabouts. Well, at least in the last 3 months, anyway.
Mr. Chair, it was presented to the last council meeting with the other policy, so it's a new policy, and up to that point, we really didn't have a particular policy.
So, my motivation for requesting a review of the procurement policy was to formalise what we spoke about, pretty sure, at the last meeting, in that the general manager sort of inlaid that there earlier, that in the past it's been a pretty closed shop approach to purchasing, in that despite promises and best intentions or not so best intentions in some cases, that seemed to me that pretty much all of the chemical was purchased in Armidale, and the vehicles and whatever else you like, with the obvious exception of stuff that can't be purchased in Armidale, that just seemed to be. So my aim in asking for a review of this was to share the love, basically, so that chemical is purchased in Wauka, used in Wauka, Glenins, used in Glenins, Inverell, so on and so forth, because I think you'll probably find that the difference in price, with chemical in particular, between those localities is bugger all, because the biggest purchaser of chemicals without doubt is the farmers, and plenty of them are so big that if they find a price that's, you know, $5 a darm cheaper for glyphosate in Inverell, they will go over and buy, you know, a truckload, basically. There's plenty of guys I know from Walker that go down annually to Tamworth and will buy pallets and pallets of glyphosate. So, and that's to save a couple of bucks, you know, a litre, so, or less. So I think it needs, adjusting so that happens. Otherwise you end up with the scenario which has been in the past and more Wielka than any of the others, and I could see it happening to Glen Innes, I could see it happening in Burrell, where it's basically the New England Weeds Authority just ripped money out of the town through wages, chemical, vehicles, whatever you like, and put back very little. So, I mean, certainly, you know, like Glen Innes and the member councils have to contribute their contribution, obviously, but for them to it all be a whole lot to stay in Armidale, it's, you know, it's not quite right. Ural is possibly a little bit different in some regards, in that it's so close to Armidale, and to my knowledge doesn't have the big chemical resellers that Armidale, Wielka, Glen Innes, and Ural do. Correct me if I'm wrong. So that was my aim, was to try and adjust that to make the whole system a bit fairer and a lot more open, because it didn't seem to be open at all, and that's where it needs to go, I think. You know, we can't do much at this stage. I think it can be corrected slowly in the future about staff wages being, you know, ripped out of the distant member councils, but over time I think that needs to be corrected as well. So that would be my contribution to that. We need to fair the system up a bit.
The other thing is to access to
Right.
Access when working in those areas
when
you
Yeah, look, I agree with all the comments because the procurement policy is about open council. And yes, I believe council was closed. Probably closed for many years. And yes, you are going to have some centralisation just because of where everyone's based. But again, by having a 5% local incentive, it allows that. So instead of going to Tamworth to buy a pallet of chemicals, or we get the chip straight out of Sydney or Newcastle, you know, we can negotiate a lot better locally. So it's about the organisation, if they wish to buy chemicals, and the way the new building is set up, we will have a chemical store, which we, for a number of reasons, we haven't had in the past. We will have the ability to go and buy a pallet of chemicals. So you can do that and say to all the local, you know, sellers, resellers of chemicals, only go in the newer area if that's what you want. Ask them, and whatever best price within the newer area, that's who supplies it. So some of our chemicals, we might only buy a couple of drums because that's what we're dealing with. Again, it might be cheaper in Wielka or in Glen Innes or in Armidale, just depends. You know, but if you stick to your area, that's fine. Motor vehicles, as I said, it doesn't matter where you buy them in New South Wales, states that buy that up. There's only about $2 difference. But again, you would make sure you targeted your local dealers so that you got what you wanted. And again, it's about having the right plan to do the job, and that's something we're going through at the moment. Now that some of our plan is not suitable to do the job we're doing, and there's alternate plan out there that we could be buying locally off other dealers, for instance. So it's writing the specifications for the plan to meet the job to be done, not just going and seeing your mate down the road and getting a price on something you like. You know, so it's a change, total change of attitude. And that goes for small items as well. That's worth, you know, if we're working in, you know, Wielka, Glen Innes, Inverell, instead of coming back to Armidale buying a small item or a repair item, buy it locally. So we've changed some of our purchasing requirements that people can spend up to certain amounts over their delegations, and they can go and buy where they are rather than have to keep coming back as well. So there's, along with this policy, there's a whole procedure behind that with delegations that will make it more open and transparent and easier for councillors in the future and our external lawyers to track what's been going on. And that's been a problem up to now.
Can I just ask a quick little question there, please?
Yes.
Some might be able to. So, do the majority of contractors, are they wet quoting or are they dry quoting as far as it goes? Do they supply would they rather supply their own stuff? I imagine they would.
That, Chair, I can't answer the question.
don't know.
Use, yeah. Their own vehicle, their own spray.
You'd imagine they'd be,
not sure about chemical.
Yeah.
I'm
just wondering, because of the new building, you've got your chemical store. I was just thinking it might be easier to get it from, say, Newcastle at a bulk rate and cheaper, and store it there for the.
I don't think you're going to buy in Newcastle any cheaper than you'll buy it locally. They don't use a lot of glyphosate in Newcastle.
Where does it come from?
Oh, it could come from anywhere. It could come from Adelaide, Brisbane, where China, a lot of it. So they're not. I mean, your biggest volume users are the areas where it's going to be the cheapest. It's just so much competition.
Yeah.
So the procurement policy doesn't stop you buying regionally. You've got to be careful because the national competition policy, and there's also all those other rules in local government about competition. So you can't say, we're not going to buy from Newcastle. You'll say, we'll assess and look at what we can buy locally. So, you know, the intention is buy as much as you can locally across the Newark region. And that's why 5% incentive is there. You might say, well, you know, they're outside the 5%. You know, if they had 10%, they would have been competitive. Well, there's no problems with the council going, well, in this case, you know, we'd rather buy it from the supplier in Mirala, even though we know we're going to pay 10% more than buying it out of Newcastle. It's just a logical thing to do, it's like, because I can run down to Mirala and I can pick that pallet up, or I can wait 2 weeks for the truck to come up. It's all about how you view those offsets. If you're talking about, look, it's $10 a litre cheaper, you are running a business. This is a multi-million-dollar business at the end of the day. You've got to be responsible to your constituent councils. You can't keep paying through the nose if you can get it cheaper. So there is a point that you've got to switch over, you know, take your local hat off and go, I am running a business. So it's pretty easy. I think most things you will be able to buy within the newer region, within the price expectations that you'll set yourself.
Because you don't hear those people borrowing from, they could be borrowing from
Brisbane,
which is a lot closer
than mine. Well, you know, what would happen is, if we're doing spraying in Glen Innes, for instance, we would order our chemical to be picked up in Glen Innes when we're up there spraying. So, you know, if we're using spray contractors, the question was asked, would they supply the chemical themselves? Well, we've had a few discussions about this in the staff. Sometimes it's better if the contractor provides everything because it relieves us from some of our work health and safety obligations. But it's all about supervision. But again, you could say if you're a contractor in Glen Innes or in Inverell, that you will go there and pick up this growing chemical and we'll pay for it. So, you know, there are ways to sort of keeps expanding within the local community, because I'm sure spray contractors do exactly what, you know, the councillor said that they will go and buy a pallet somewhere because on the day it's cheap, and they know they're going to use it in 2 months, so they'll travel to get it cheaper because that's profit for them.
Exactly.
Where in our case, it might be, we will supply the chemical, but you must pick it up from this supplier. So those things can still happen. As long as we're open and transparent about how we're buying it and, you know, the process we go through.
I ask, when you were saying that the vehicles are pretty much sort of tied up on a government sort of basis, does that also include your add-ons, your pull bars, radios, trays, that sort of thing? Because sometimes, you know, going to different dealers, they put different margins on those, and that's where, you know, you could pick up a few grand on that sort of thing. So that sort of still makes it worth going out there for tender, doesn't it, to supply a rigged vehicle pretty much.
We should be going out to quotations, and we should have the vehicle fully specced up when we go out.
Yes.
And this is another issue I have right across local government, and I can show you names of people who are living in jail at the moment on these sorts of things, is that the base price of the vehicle does not vary. So the state procurement, you know, there's only a couple of dollars. Even delivery to get to you is included within those prices. You add a tray, you add long-range tanks, you add a bull bar, you add a winch, you add everything else. And that goes up considerably.
Yeah.
So in our specifications, it should specify everything we want that vehicle to come with, so that we're comparing apples to apples. And that normally doesn't happen across local government anywhere, especially engineers. They'll tell you they can buy a vehicle cheap and we'll fit it out. No, because it's fitted out at a much higher price than it's probably delivered. But you've got to specify it, and that's why councils don't like doing that. You've got to put it up front as to what you want, and you can compare apples to apples. Lots of our stuff, our spray gear, it gets taken off and reinstalled, but again, we need a tray to come with it, or if we don't, we specify that on the changeover, they fit the tray that we've got, and those sorts of things. Again, coming back to the price, because yes, I can buy vehicles out of Sydney or Adelaide cheaper than I could buy locally, but by the time you add all those bits and pieces in, the locals probably look after you much better than someone who buy.
Is that written in here, that all those go to tender over the entirety of our region to all the dealers?
Chair, it's actually a procedure that you would then write. So the policy is, this is what we're going to do, and the procedure is, this is how we do it.
Right.
So the procedure is really about getting to the next stage. What does council want to do? How do you put all this in place? So that's the guide.
The thing that needs to be written in the procedure, obviously, and also for chemical, whatever else you like, for the purposes of succession, so that we don't drift into the scenario we've had in the past, where, you know, we've got, you know, willfully or whatever ignored, so I guess it's important that that's written in procedure. That procedure doesn't come to us so much, does it?
For open council, I believe it should.
Yeah.
That's my belief.
Good. Yep.
Future general managers might view that differently. I know there's, again, I'll come back to this stupidity between what's operational and what's, you know, council, what's strategic.
Mm-hmm.
A procedure to me is strategic, because this is how, as council, we would like you to do your job.
Mm-hmm.
I have a different theory than most general managers, unfortunately. But I believe you guys set the rules, and that includes procedures as well.
Yeah.
We're relevant, yeah. You don't get down weeds every day of the week, but big issues like purchasing should be considered at council level.
It's important then.
But that's my read for the day.
It's important that we understand the aims and objectives of the policy and the procedures in regards to openness and fairness.
Well, this is the big one councils get criticised on all the time by local businesses. Why don't you buy locally? Why do you keep going out of town? If you have a procedure that tightens things up and you comply with your policy that everyone knows and can read and see and is presented to them, then you shouldn't have a problem with the community.
Yeah. I can tell you from experience that if staff do the right thing and follow the procedure and policy with regard to local suppliers, they won't have a problem. If they do the wrong thing and don't follow the policy procedure with regard to local suppliers, they will have a problem. But they also, if they don't follow the policy and procedure and still go with local suppliers, they will very rarely have a problem. It will be your local suppliers that complain. Not your wider suppliers, because one, they probably don't know about it, and two, even if they do, they probably end up in discussion, so nothing. So it's really quite important that once the policies and procedures are made, then they are followed.
Right, councillors, we might turn back to standing procedures. So we get the show on the road, otherwise we'll be here all late. Can I move to Councillor O'Connor? Seconded. Councillor Cunard. We move back to standing orders, presume standing orders. Okay, we have a recommendation on it, 7.12. The council display all draft policies to the public and subject to no submissions and substantial matters being raised about any policy by the public, that council adopt these policies. We have a mover, Councillor O'Connor and Councillor Latley. I'll now put the recommendation. Can all those in favour signify in the usual manner? Clear, carried. A new depot and development application. The council note that the development application was lodged via the New South Wales Planning Portal on Tuesday, the 11th of May, 2021. This is a notation. Can I have a mover? Councillor Kimmett, Councillor Sparks. Councillor Kimmett, would you like to speak on this recommendation? It's all explanatory.
No, it all looked pretty good to me, in so much as you can tell from plans, I guess. Tell until the bricks and mortar are up, what's right, what's wrong in some respects. But the only thing I did have a concern about, probably no concern really at all, is there's only one parking space for visitors. Plenty of parking space for staff, obviously, they're the ones that are mostly there. Really get visitors, unless it's on occasions like this where you've got all your councillors that are visitors, or is probably arrogant enough to park wherever we play. So that was the only thing I noticed, that there was only one parking space for visitors. I mean, there's times we have weddings that are, like most of you are pleased to work when you went into evaluations and other elsewhere now, aren't they? So, avoid evaluations, not so much of a depot. They're probably arrogant enough to park wherever they please too. So,
yeah.
Not really. Yeah,
Councillor Sparks, seconder? Councillor O'Connor?
I just have one question. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't see any signage in the designs that I've seen. So Is that a deliberate thing or?
Mr. General Manager.
Mr. Chair, yes, I did not include any signage because signage is one of those things that I thought may have delayed the development process even further than it's been delayed to this point.
Good point, yes.
And the signage will only be to say what the organisation is.
Look, I don't have a problem with that as a strategy, but I was having a discussion with the chair before the meeting
about education,
about communicating perhaps a slightly amended vision for what Newman Ways Authority stands for in the community. I'm very happy to take up Councillor Dustin's suggestion of putting some of my thoughts onto paper,
yep.
And that might include looking at a creative signage down the track once we've all come to agreement, or the authority has come to agreement about what its public place might be. But please, some signage so that people can find you, because it is a problem, but obviously happy to delay that to a later point in order to expedite the approval process.
Councillor Connor came earlier with an excellent idea, and as I always say to any councillor that comes with a good idea, we're scoping back and forward so we can all have a good look at it and put it forward. That's, I think, an excellent way to get.
I would like to see the rooms coming in, so I'd like to, put our electricity bill down to a reverse or use here to reduce the cost.
Mr. General Manager.
Mr. Chair, I'm in debate with Armidale Regional Council and its solicitor about a criteria Armidale Regional Council has that anything that's built there must have at least 50% of its roof area covered in solar. To meet that requirement, because our roofs face north south, I can't put it on the settlement side, so therefore I need to put solar panels on the ground to meet that requirement. The requirement, working it out, is equivalent to 11 times what a standard household will meet. So we're going to run a fridge, maybe a microwave, an air conditioner. We actually need 0.6 of a standard household to run our building. And we've got to put over 11 times what a standard household is. So being the first development and the first purchaser in the estate, and this is a covenant that's to go on the title, I have met with Councillor Solicitor to discuss this. I'm very happy to put what's required to offset our total cost of electricity on the building, but I'm not happy to put 50% of the roof area on a building that I have no guarantee that Essential Energy or anyone else will allow us to connect to the grid, because I'm pumping 11 times more than I need, so therefore that's normally not what happens. And the truth is that I'm not sure that the electricity grid that's been installed will accommodate the requirements for every building in there to have equivalent to 50% of its roof area covered. So if I'm putting 11 times in, every other industrial commercial building will be pumping more energy into the grid system than what the grid system may be designed to take. So I think the decision of Armidale Regional Council to require 50% of the equivalent roof area is a bit short-sighted without doing the research on whether the grid can take it, whether the electricity suppliers will actually want it, and the cost to us is astronomical. So I am in discussion, but I would love to put it in as 100% offset.
Yeah, no, exactly. And they're working very fast on fast tracking the debts.
If there's such a word. So there's in council is fast track.
Some genius has come up with that requirement, right, without thinking of the base of the the operation capabilities of.
Mr. Chair, giving council some credit, you say, well, if 50% of your roof areas would be an offset, that's fine, but it's got to be 50% or 100% of what the development uses, not base it on the roof area. So in our case, we use 0.6 of what a household uses, so therefore we should be having 100% offset for 0.6, not 11 times what our household uses, because we've got a massive roof area, but our roof area doesn't have anything in it. So during the day with the skylights in, we probably won't even turn the lights on in this shed. So it's not air conditioned, it's not heated or anything. So the roof area is much larger.
It's possible to proceed with the building, assuming at this point in time no solar panels, but yet wire the wiring plan to take them down the track, and negotiations result in a satisfactory solution.
It's all designed to take solar panels.
Yeah.
But on the plans, it does not show what council's covenant is, because there's a nice rule of clause, clause 11 point something or 12 in the LEPs that say that a council can approve a development without taking in regard any covenants that are applied. So the planning department has been advised that they cannot consider the covenants the council as the developer have applied because of this clause, and hopefully they will. And otherwise, it will be an appeal to the Land Environment Court to say that they've stepped over the mark. As the seller of the land, which is Armidale Regional Council, they might say you cannot build this building because you did not comply with our covenant. So, hence the reason for negotiation before I.
Through the chair, I think this, with the Department of Planning, Industry and Environment, are working very quickly in this space, and to be prepared, I think, is a very good idea for council to have that all in place and ready to go, because they are working very, very quickly into accommodate cheaper energy.
Yes. Sure. Mr. Mayor, Mr. Major, that should wrap up the conversation. I'll show you. I've recorded Councillor O'Connor has left the room at 10:09. It should be very soon, I might believe. We had a mover and a seconder for the recommendation 7.13. Councillor Sparks and Councillor Cavada. I'll now put the recommendation, all those in favour, signify in the usual manner. And I'm noting Councillor O'Connor has returned.
Sorry, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Clearly carried. The next recommendation is 7.1.4. Advertise the appointment of General Manager. The Council note the appointment of the Local Government New South Wales to undertake the advertising and appointment process for the new General Manager as per its policy. That's the recommendation. Can I have a mover and a seconder? Councillor O'Connor, Councillor Gladney. Councillor O'Connor, would you like to speak?
No, nothing to say. Thank you very much, Mr. Inspector General.
I'm very sure that our General Manager has done a very good job with this.
Excellent. Well, he has too. Well, now put the recommendation, all those in favour. Signify in the usual manner. I'll declare that carried.
Chair, if I could.
Yes.
After the meeting, I'll tell you about it. But just the interview process.
They were planned for this Friday. That's been delayed.
Okay. Well, that works.
And the delay is for a couple of reasons. But the interviews will be at the end of the month. I've just got to confirm the actual date. So it will be either the 28th or the 1st. And the reason for that is we're trying to line it up in the interview process under our regional council and get Armadale to pay the cost of their fares for the people that are doing the same job as us, and we will just back onto that. And Armadale, I believe, have made a delay in the interview process, so that moved it from this Friday, which I think might suit.
Yes. Do you want for the, was it the 28th or the other possible date?
29th.
Thursday the 28th.
Yeah, 28th or the 29th.
Yeah, 29th.
You'll let us know, don't you?
Yes,
okay.
as soon as I know. And
yep.
Part of our delay is I wanted our consultant just to contact the people and make sure they understood that this is a 3-day-a-week job, because there was a good bit of confusion in one application, and just want to make sure that they knew what's there. Also, a preliminary question answer session by the consultant, so that we do have the right people coming. And once that link's there, I may be able to share that link with you so that you can see who those people are as well prior to the interview process.
Has there been much interest in any quality in it, or this is your opinion, of course?
We received 5 applications, and there were 3 that will go through.
Yeah.
So,
you got a run.
So,
yeah. Excellent. Just as up in the end.
Yes.
Okay, the next recommendation is 5.
Oh, sorry, but I just clear up that process. I didn't have anything in my diary, it's not actually.
You will be.
Was
as part of the process.
Yeah, well, it was the 18th.
It was the 18th.
Oh,
and you're away.
I was going to Canberra, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, that's been delayed. So
sorry.
It'll be at the end of the month. Somewhere around the 28th, 29th,
that's
to the 1st.
29th is a row of councils meeting only once. Before once, there's only 3 applicants, so David Howard's just been in time. If you could organise that, it's not to imagine.
End of June, 1st of July. So I've just got to confirm, just so we offset our costs.
Seeing they're paying the cost of travel.
Mr. Chair, I don't think we actually put that motion. The Tamari glitch. The one about the general manager recruitment process.
Yeah, it was put in Carol.
Was it?
Yeah, it was Carol. There you go. The next recommendation by law is 7.1.5. August Council meeting, cancellation. Council is proposed August meeting of August 2021 council meeting due to being in caretaker mode prior to the New South Wales local government elections. Council hold a special council meeting in either June or July for the appointment of the new general manager if required, and council hold a meeting in October 2021 with the newly appointed councillors. Interesting recommendation. What do you think? Can I have a move then? Councillor O'Connor, Councillor
Wright? I might need to say it again.
Okay. Council, it's a proposed August 2021 council meeting due to being in caretaker mode prior to the New South Wales local government elections. Two, a council hold a special council meeting in either June or July for the appointment of a new general manager, if required. And three, that council hold a meeting in October 2021 with the newly appointed councillors. Now, the one in October could be problematic, as not all elections are concluded on the day of the election. Some may take weeks to conclude, depending on how many people are running, whether they have a contest, if someone decides they want a recount, all these other things come into play, and it can take months after this, so I'm not sure how this may work. I'll just put in a recommendation here.
Mr. Chair, I don't think that's fatal to this. My recollection is that everything's pretty well resolved by the end of September.
Should be,
especially considering that it's on the foot early in September anyway.
Yep.
It's on the 4th or something like that, I think.
Yep.
I think it's a good recommendation and efficient.
Okay. You moved it?
Yep.
Would you like to speak on it?
I just did.
Yes, did. And Councillor Gallatin, Commander.
All good.
Okay, anyone speaking against it? No, I'll put up with the recommendation. All those in favour? So that carried. I can't carry it unanimously because Councillor Morat is here. All over here, it's carried.
We're for it. So, anyway, that's a matter for you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, we have.
But we're all meeting in June.
Yes, hopefully, the select to appoint the new general manager. The recommendation on 7.1.6. Recommendation that council report indicating councillors' fund management position be received and noted that council certified certificate of the responsible accounting officer be noted and the report adopted. Councillor Gallatin, Councillor O'Connor, let's speak now.
Nothing to say from John.
Councillor O'Gone?
It's a bit disappointing interest, but that's life at the moment, so.
It sure is.
I think nothing further at this stage.
Mr. General Manager? No? Okay, well, now put the recommendation. All those in favour signify in the usual manner. Let that carry. Funny how you get used to using a laptop and iPad, using paper again, it's very interesting. Okay, the recommendation on 8.1, recommendation that the report on the 2020 and 2021 Weeds Action Program be received and noted. Councillor Gladley?
No.
Councillor O'Connor? Mr. General Manager, Weeds Action Program.
Mr. Chair, I'm sure our councillor from Walker has noticed that our inspections are down in the Walker area, and as council did realise, we did have a major accident, and our inspector for the Walker area was involved in that. Discussions with staff over the last couple of weeks has been that we need to lift the inspections in Walker, and they've commenced more than one staff member so that we get in there. Obviously they will trail behind, but we'll continue to pick those inspections up as we go into the new year. Again, it's a process within the organisation that one person looks after an area, and if they're not there for whatever reason, the area doesn't get covered. We're changing that process to make sure that we have teams of people go and inspect areas, understand what landowners alike within that area and grow that knowledge as well through the organisation as we move further into Glen Innes and into Inverell. We're going to have more people learn and understand what's going on. So we will be putting more people in the area. To me, that's the only disappointing result. The others have been kept up there. I believe the structure that we've now got in place where the inspectors do inspecting and they're not spray operators, as occurred in the past, these inspections will increase dramatically. So that's my hope. Yeah.
Good. Any other comments, councillors? No? Well, I'll now put the recommendation. All those in favour, signify in the usual manner. Well, that carried. First was Councillor Bradley and Councillor O'Connor. Point 9, matters of urgency. Are there any matters of urgency?
I just have one matter to raise. It's probably, I'm happy for it to be discarded as not urgent, but it's urgent in the sense that this is our last effective meeting. And that is that I think reading the operational plan, it might be helpful as we transition to a new membership of the Reds Council after the New South Wales local government elections in September. That perhaps if you had the eyes of the training might be developed for the councillor representatives, because I think at the moment that might be an area that's been somewhat lacking, possibly, and something for the acting general manager perhaps to consider as he's in the period of the councillor absence due to the election. He might discuss with the incoming general manager that. It might help the incoming councillors, new councillors, and some may return as just a few more KPIs up front for councillors.
So, can I clarify that you're talking about code of conduct, code of meeting practice, which are the same as ordinary councillors?
No, I'm talking about KPIs, a little bit of training on how the councillor members.
Policies.
Yeah, things like, I noticed somewhere in the papers that. It's expected that councils report back to their own council about what's happened. I mean, maybe a template could be developed or just something to make it more upfront as to, and how we might bring things from our council or actually facilitate a bit more specific input and communication between our member council, whole councils, and the council delegates that are appointed here.
We currently have in our policy that we include in the recommendations generally that the minutes of the meetings we sent out to all our member councils so they have a copy of it. I've noticed they generally don't make our council minutes, but at least the general manager has access to see them and read them, and their staff associated with that.
I
think they should go to a council meeting.
Yeah,
just has
sure.
Information.
Anyway, it's just a thought.
Yeah. And if councils have someone rings up and says, listen, I've got a problem with the weed, they should refer that straight through the Weed County Council staff for them to deal with it. This is, they're the experts trained in this area. So in that direction, the staff should respond to any requests by councils.
Yeah. I don't want to frame a resolution, I just want to that point over so that if the acting general manager wishes and yourself as chair wish to discuss that and take a matter of advising,
Mr. General Manager.
Mr. Chair, I believe all delegates should be reporting back to their council. It's part of the responsibility of being a council. Whatever meeting or function, if you're delegated to go. You should be able to give a delegate's report within the council itself, whether it's written or verbal.
With great respect, and through the chair, I agree with that. maybe that you've got brand new councillors here who don't have our esteemed acting general manager's experience on which to form a belief, but they don't know.
So, do you have a policy? I'll just take it on board and we'll get something back. Right. Well, the next meeting was listed down as the 12th of October 2021 at 9 a.m. at Armadale. Is everybody happy with that? Because that's
after
the election.
It's not an issue for now, but I think we did discuss moving to Monday or Wednesday, so I absolute clash every Tuesday morning. So.
I'd suggest we bring that up at the next council meeting with the new councillors.
Sure.
And then we'll they can decide what dates they wish to put forward.
9 a.m. Armadale.
9 a.m. Armadale.
12th of October.
12th of October.
Thought we'd move
Tuesday. Tuesday the 12th of October.
I thought we'd move our wedding days to Wednesdays.
We could do that if you want.
Thought we did.
Under discussion.
I don't remember, but I'm easy, it doesn't matter.
What is Tuesday? It's Tuesday.
Yeah, so it was on Monday.
Okay, well,
could be Wednesday.
Wednesday the 30th, that's in everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Yes?
No, I don't know.
Right?
Well, subject, yeah, yes. I'm not counting my
John?
Chickens.
I go with the flow, mate. I just grab out the line and tow on.
Scott, you're
Yeah.
Well, Jane Holes and Mr. General Manager. It's now Wednesday the
30th
of October.
This is only for my convenience, so it's really
at the offices there.
Okay.
I was hoping we'd move by now to the new offices. We have to go home somewhere. Progress is not always fast.
Well, it might be our regional council chambers.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
They're all the function room, be there somewhere.
Yeah.
I'll
find
you.
We will.
If I'm still here in this position.
I do like the look of the new building.
Right. Okay, gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, I declare the meeting closed. This will probably be our final official meeting except for the election of General Manager, which will be an emergency meeting. This council will have all going into caretaker mode. I'd like to thank you all for your, personally thank you all for the input, thank you all for the attendance that you've made over the years, not just recently. And just recently, Council Sykes, I value all your input, it all makes us feel stronger and better. The more variety we have, the more input we get, the better we are as an organisation. So I value it greatly.